Kari, it's great to be able to catch up so soon after your stunning win in California last Sunday. You're back home now in North Queensland. Was this a planned visit or was it something you decided to do after the win?
No, it was always a planned visit. My sister Janelle had a baby daughter about 4.5 weeks ago, Olivia Grace. So I'd always planned to come home for a couple of weeks just to meet my new niece.
Well, as I mentioned, it was a stunning win. Firstly, I suppose, because of the manner in which you played the 72nd hole, but also because it came at a time when perhaps it could be said it was unexpected. Was it unexpected from your angle?
I wouldn't say that any week is unexpected to me. If I went into each week thinking that I couldn't win, then you know, golf's been good enough to me where I don't have to be out there. I mean, I'm not out there just to make up the numbers anymore. You know, I'm out there to try and win a golf tournament. So I wouldn't say it's unexpected, no. Obviously, after the way I played Saturday, it was definitely a long shot for me to win on Sunday.
Yeah, you made mention at the ANZ Ladies Masters a couple of months ago that your goal was still to get back to the number one position. I suppose that is now much closer and more of a reality. I imagine to have been able to give that statement further credibility must be very satisfying.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I was home for the Masters, it was, you know, like I said back then, I can't control what anyone else does, but I know that I've got the ability to be the best in the world. I've shown it once before, and the work that I've been doing on my game the last couple of years, I feel like physically I'm a much better player than I was in my prime. So, you know, just to not really have the results on the board early this year and then turn up for our first major and get myself into contention and then to play the way I did on Sunday was great.
Did you feel starting out on Sunday that there was a chance? I know there's been statements made from you that you saw a newspaper article suggesting Annika could do it, so you therefore felt that you could do it. But obviously walking off the green on Saturday, the 18th green, after a 76, you probably felt then that you needed to shoot 63, 64 maybe, because those ahead were going pretty well.
Yeah, I didn't think I had to go that low, but I thought 65 probably, which is what I ended up shooting, would give me a chance. I didn't think that the leaders would shoot really low on Sunday. I played with both of them Saturday, and I think what made me more frustrated was that, you know, I only had to play half good, and I had a really good shot to play to win on Sunday, because I saw how they were playing, and it wasn't that great, you know. So I knew they weren't going to go out there and blitz it. If they did, that would have been great for them. But, you know, I did know that if I played solidly, I'd have a chance.
11 shot swings between two rounds. Does that happen often to Kari Webb?
I don't know. I didn't even think about that until you just said it. But at the start of the day, ultimately, I hadn't put the results on the board this year, so... you know, I still wanted to have a strong Sunday, whether I won or not. I wanted to have a nice finish in the first major of the year. So, you know, the fact that I'd gotten off to the start I did, and then making that shot on 18 was, you know, definitely one I'll never ever forget.
We never really got to see your tee shot on the 72nd hole. The coverage here had it edited quite a bit. Obviously, you had no option of going for the green on the 72nd hole.
No, I missed the fairways in the rough. So. And the rough was so thick last week that, you know, the fact that I even laid up to the number I did, I was trying to lay a bit further down the fairway, but you didn't really have as much control as you wanted to out of there, but I laid it up to a good number. It was almost full wedge. So, you know, the fact that I could just swing away, you know, and those are sort of things that happen when you win, that you can... that you get the good yardages to hit your full club in there. So, you know, I just put a perfect swing on a wedge and it was straight at the pin. And when it was in the air, I'd already held one shot that week, so I didn't expect it to be going in the hole, but I wanted to get close enough where I didn't have to work so hard on my putt.
I was going to ask you about that yardage of 116 yards or 105 metres or thereabouts. Obviously, it was a comfortable yardage, and it is a thing that players do try to do, isn't it? They try to position a second shot on a par 5 to a place where they can just go and freewheel it with whatever club that they end up coming up with.
Right, right. And like I said, though, out of the rough, it was very hard to control how it was going to go. So the fact that, you know, it ended up at a yardage that was, you know, a perfect number. As soon as I heard the yardage, I was like, oh, that's perfect, you know. And I didn't have to think about taken any off it or hitting it really hard or what. It was just a smooth, I just gripped it just a slight bit and smooth swing straight at it.
Well, your reaction's been talked about a lot. I suppose it was almost a surreal situation when it went in.
Oh, I mean, I just couldn't even believe it. And when at the time, you know, the girls behind me had made a couple of bogeys and they were sort of going in the opposite direction. And when it went in, I thought I'd won it. You know, I thought I did not expect to have to go into a playoff. So after all the madness calmed down and I'd signed my card and everything, I realized that, you know what, you might have to hit another shot. So I had to try and calm myself down.
It was probably just as well you had 10 or 15 minutes to sort of get things back in order.
Yeah, it was probably about half an hour before I hit my next shot in the playoffs.
So, I think you were two groups behind going into the last round, so it would have been 20 minutes and then another 10 minutes or so before the playoff was organised, I'd imagine.
Right.
Well, it was good to see your reaction. I think we can safely say that you lost it.
Yeah.
I know you ran to your caddy, Mike, who was probably standing 10 yards away, and I suppose that was a thrill for you and for him, given the fact that you've really both been through fairly difficult times, not, you know, disastrous times, but difficult times over the last couple of years. And I'd imagine being able to share that with him, a guy that's really stuck by you during that time, must be very special.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the day before when I was playing poorly, you know, I was starting to feel sorry for myself and, you know, why can't I get over this mental hump when I need to? And he's like, you know, pretty much, I mean, he didn't say the words get your head out of your butt, but it was pretty much the pep talk that I got. He was like, there's still a long way to go, and these guys aren't playing good, and if you can just finish off well, you never know what will happen tomorrow. So so when I won after the playoff, he's like, see, I told you you know, that it wasn't over.
I know Trixie wasn't with you last week, and obviously Calvin wasn't with you as well, but they are two special people in your life that really have also put a tremendous amount of work in over the last couple of years trying to get things back on track.
Yeah, well, Trixie actually was there till Thursday night. He came over and worked with Rachel and I and Maria Hjors in the lead-up to the tournament, and he was there through the first round. So, yeah, and, you know, obviously with Calvin as well, you know, we've all been sort of not questioning what we're doing. We knew it was the right thing, but you know, I was even getting a little testy with Trigsy earlier in the week before the tournament started because he was saying it's so close, and I'm like, Trigsy, you've been telling me that for 2 years. You know, I'm sick of hearing it. It's not close. You know, I had on the Monday of the tournament, I had a bit of a hissy fit with him, and I said, you know, when I used to win all these big tournaments, I used to practice like crap in the lead up to him, and I said, hopefully that's a good sign for this week, and obviously it was.
Yeah, you've talked a lot about the quality of shots that you've been hitting over the last 12 months or so, but you just haven't quite yet been able to take it onto the golf course, but clearly it's all starting to happen right now.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, you know, I don't think that this is going to, well, I'm not saying it won't, but I don't think you're going to see me winning every week from now on out just because I won last week, but it's definitely a huge boost to my confidence and to know that, you know, I do still have it in me and that I can overcome a bad day and still go on to win. So, you know, I'm going to continue doing the hard work that I've been doing and hopefully this win will, you know, will battle those mental demons the next time I'm in contention.
Carrie, I can't recall a time in women's golf in my involvement where there's been so many positive vibes about its direction. I guess it's a combination of the established players. I won't say older players because you're still only 31, but the established players such as yourself, Annika and Julie Inkster, who have been around for a while, won a lot of majors, the emergence of so many of the high-quality young Americans, and of course, not to mention the incredible number of Koreans who are capable of winning virtually every week. It appears that the female professional golf game is at an all-time high right now. Is that the way you see it?
Yes, I think we're definitely in the best position we've ever been in tour history. And, you know, I think it's great. I think the biggest key to the excitement of the tour right now is that there's some young Americans coming through that are showing a lot of potential. And, you know, for probably the most of my career on the LPGA, that's what's been lacking. You know, we've had the good older Americans like Julie Inkster and Meg Mallon playing well, but, you know, even then the media weren't that excited about it because they're like, well, they're not going to be around forever. You know, what have we got? What else have we got coming? So you know, there's the Paula Creamers and Christina Kim. I'm trying to think of the other young Americans.
Natalie Michelle Gilbert. Wee, I guess.
Yeah, Michelle Wee.
Morgan Pressel.
Yeah, I played with Morgan on Sunday. So, you know, there's a number of young Americans coming through now, and you know, that's what, you know, corporate America needs. That's what we need for corporate America to be interested in us, and the media to be interested in us. So it's great to see.
If it was possible to pinpoint the reason for your apparent downturn in your fortunes over the last 2 to 3 years, is there a specific reason, or do you just feel it's been a combination of reasons?
Well, I think other than one person in this world, and that's Annika Sorenstam, I think, you know, everyone has their ups and downs on the golf course, and I'd had plenty of ups. Well, I'd never had a downtime until those last couple of years, and I guess if I look at it, if that's going to be my worst times on the golf course, then I'm still very, very lucky. But I think, you know, a lot of it just had to do with I didn't have a goal anymore. I'd achieved more than I ever dreamt of, and I sort of look at goals and go, well, how is that going to change my life? You know, it's not going to change my life. You know, I sort of was out there working hard, but, you know, not having anything at, you know, at the end of the light at the end of the tunnel to chase after. So, and now it's not necessarily to be number one. It's, like I said, I'm capable of being number one. I definitely have the ability to be. But it's also to, you know, to enjoy that good golf. I mean, I think I did enjoy it to a point when I was playing well, but I just didn't know how to handle all the other stuff that came with it, and that made me not enjoy it as much. Now I just really want to, I know how I really appreciate winning the other day. I mean, I feel a little lucky in many ways to have won, but I just want to enjoy that and really, you know, hear the crowds cheering and just really soak it in, and that's probably my biggest goal and probably why it's been frustrating for me, is because I want to get back there to enjoy it that much more.
Yeah, the point you make about slumps, and it was a point that was often made during the course of when Tiger Woods was not playing quite at his peak a couple of years ago. Everybody wanted to talk about it being a slump, but I suppose it's the sort of slump that a lot of people would kill to have.
Right, yeah, there'd probably be 99% of professional golfers that would kill to have the slump that I had or the slump that Tiger had, especially the slump Tiger had. You know, you set yourself up with those standards, the way I played for 5, 6, 7 years, you know, people's expectations are that high of you, that's, you know, what comes with it.
The swing changes you've been working on with Triggs in Kelvin, it appears from this side of the television screen that you've been working a lot on your takeaway. I'm not so sure whether that's right, but anything in particular, or what are the main components, without getting too detailed about it, that you've been working on?
Well, it's really just concentrating more on swinging with my core part of my body, rather than having, you know, that really huge move away from the ball with a huge arc and then lots of leg drive through the ball. It's more, you know, taking the club away with my core and then bringing it through with my core, and really keeping my arms soft and trying to keep them out of my swing and interfering with the shot that I want to hit.
And finally, Gary, if it was possible to draw some sort of comparison between where you are now with your game and where you were, say, 4 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when the results were just flowing in week after week, is it possible to do that, or would you prefer not to?
You definitely would prefer to do it, I think. And it's definitely possible. It's just a matter of doing it. You know, I know I'm capable of it. And then it's also, you know, not letting down, you know, after a win like this and going, all right, good, you know, I've done it. But then also not putting the pressure on myself to say, okay, you did it, you got to do this every week. You know, I've just got to find that balance.
Your next tournament, I understand, is going to be in a couple of weeks in Atlanta, which means you'll miss the Takafuji tournament, I believe, a tournament that you led after the first round last year. Was that a difficult decision to make, or did you just want to take a 2-week break?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a difficult decision. There was five tournaments in a row starting at that one in Las Vegas, that I would play. And I guess one of my decisions was when could I get home to see my sister's new baby, when I was looking at my schedule at the start of the year. And this was the best 2 weeks. You know, from here on out, I don't really have 2 weeks that I can take off without coming back and having to play a major. You know, so this was the 2 weeks that I could take off. And, you know, I'm going straight back to play a tournament, but, you know, I don't have another major until the beginning of June. So, you know, this was the ideal time. And out of Las Vegas, or I think the other tournament I might have missed was one in Nashville. I like the course much better in Nashville, so... I'm going back to play a four in a row swing, and then I'll have a couple of weeks off before the big June and July tournament start.
Well, Carrie, I'm sure all of our listeners are rapt to see you back where you belong. It's been 10 long years since an Australian's won a major, and all the hype and talk seems to be about that, and perhaps it's ironic that this week when the Masters is on, there's further discussion about that, whereas in the meantime, you have won 7 majors. I think in many ways, that speaks for itself, and you deserve a lot more credit than you're getting for what has been an outstanding record as far as Australian golf is concerned. Well done last week, and we look forward to seeing your results over the next few months.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bruce.